lighting of our Advent wreath candles today, I've asked Sandra Critchfield, who is one of the leads of our ladies' Sunday school class, to come and do the lighting. We're going to do something that might be a little different. We're going to turn in our hymn books. I'd like to ask you to turn in your hymn book to hymn 175. It's O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. We're going to sing just the last verse. And I hope that you will really pay attention to what we're singing today for Advent. Remember, here at Zohar, we're doing our Advent themes in reverse. So today, we are starting our week of peace, discussing it, thinking about it, meditating on it. And so Sandra will be lighting the new candle today of peace and relighting that of love and joy. So if you please stay seated. And Barrett Kios, in his book, A Wardrobe from the King, wrote this. Long ago, a wealthy man sought the perfect picture of peace. Not finding one that satisfied, he announced a contest to produce this masterpiece. The challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere, and paintings arrived from far and wide. Finally, the great day of revelation arrived. The judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another in the order of their acceptance from least to best, while the viewers clapped and cheered. The tensions grew, and only two pictures remained unveiled. As a judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. It was a painting of a mirror-smooth lake which reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. And along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Surely, this was the winner. The wealthy man stood, and with the last painting uncovered, he himself came to uncover the winning painting. When he uncovered it, the crowd gasped with surprise. Could this be peace? A tumultuous waterfall cascaded down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. In the midst of the thundering noises and bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly seeking to experience the waterfall's full power. And yet, in the elbow of that branch, a little bird had built a nest, content. Undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she rested on her eggs, with her eyes closed and her wings folding over her little ones. She manifested peace that transcends all turmoil. When a person faces impending trouble, when they face present tragedy, or look back on past tumult, yet they have a steady sense of peace, then, like the little bird in the winning picture, true peace can be seen being put to action. This kind of peace is only offered by Almighty Creator God. It's freely given. Freely given to those who have trusted only in Jesus, God's Son, the Messiah, whose birthday we are soon to celebrate. But for the world, peace is an elusive treasure that it keeps seeking only to look in the wrong places, thinking that peace is only found in the serene, like the picture of the runner-up. But God's peace transcends all worldly understanding. He is true peace. Peace. Marvelous peace. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we confess today that You are the author of peace. You, in Your great love and Your amazing grace, sent Your Son Jesus. Sent Him by virgin birth. We get to celebrate His birthday. We choose Christmas to do that. But God, it is a peace that You offer. You offer it to believers. I know that not all believers take hold of Your peace. We choose sometimes to leave it to our own devices, believing the facade that peace is only found in serenity around us. May we hear from Your word today. May we be encouraged. May we also be spurred to do things Your way and give up our way. If there's anyone here, God, who does not know Your Son as their for and trusting in Him for their eternal life, calling upon Him as Lord or commander of their life, I pray that today they will see their need of true peace and come to the realization it's only found in Jesus. May today be their day of salvation. Holy Spirit, speak through Your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. Now Isaiah was one of the prophets who prophesied about the Messiah, the coming Messiah. We know that to be Jesus of Nazareth. Isaiah ascribed several names to the coming Messiah, and among those names, he pronounced the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Isaiah wrote, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." While Isaiah was living, he desired true peace. Peace with God, that is, for God's chosen people. And he gave the formula for all of us who seek true peace. And so it is we will read, or if you'll follow along as I read, Isaiah chapter 32, verses 17 and 18. The result of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quiet confidence forever. Then my people will dwell in a peaceful place in safe and secure dwellings. It's a beautiful picture. You see, peace is not singularly the absence of havoc. If havoc is absent, it only generates a disguise of placidness that can be disturbed at the least provocation. But instead, true peace is established in a right relationship with Creator God, the Almighty Father, through the Messiah, Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Peace can only be part of us by the work of righteousness by the Prince of Peace. Jesus in our lives produces this righteousness. And without Jesus, absolutely no one can be righteous, because Jesus is the reconciliation of man to God. Romans chapter 3 verse 10 tells us, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. Jesus testified of himself that he is the only way for us to be reconciled to God. Therefore, he is the only way we can be made righteous before God. And Jesus' testimony of this is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Because God is holy, peace is intimately related to righteous living. That righteous living is only made possible through our repentance from our sinfulness, from our wrongdoings, our wrong thoughts, our lack of doing right. It is only found and able to occur in us, this righteousness, through God's love, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the empowering communion of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, righteousness is only gained through personally accepting Jesus as Lord of our lives and Savior for our eternity. Then the doors of possible peace are opened. Remember, Isaiah said from our scripture reading, I'd like to read it again, Isaiah 32, 17 to 18, the result of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quiet confidence forever. Then my people will dwell in a peaceful place, in safe and secure dwellings. It is impossible for an unbeliever to have true peace. The only peace an unbeliever can have is a temporary facade which pustules with turmoil just below the surface and can pugnaciously erupt at any moment, shattering their imaginary tranquility. Let's put it in simple terms. If an unbeliever feels they have peace, it only takes one moment of turmoil to completely destroy their peace, and they have no more peace. That is fake peace. Here's the twist. In the same vein of thought, for a true believer, for a true born-again believer, that believer too can have an absence of true peace if they choose to live a lifestyle of unrighteousness. Then the only peace they can hope for is the same peace an unbeliever hopes for, which is momentary and easily broken. Jesus gave us a command. He is the Prince of Peace. He knows what we long for. We know the world longs for peace. A woman can't win a beauty pageant unless she says, I want world peace, right? I mean, that's the stereotypical answer. World peace, world peace. And Jesus says how to get it. In Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 31, and we see it in all the Gospels, but Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. If we love God like that, and we love our neighbor like that, we will live righteously. If we live righteously, we'll have peace. Peace. Marvelous peace. The way of peace for us is found in the pursuit of living out these two commands. The foundation of this kind of righteousness is rooted in the essence of faithful love and truth. We know Jesus is love. John 13:34, Jesus said, "I give you a new command, love one another," listen to this, "just as I have loved you, you must also love one another." Jesus is love. And we know Jesus is truth. We already read in John 14:6, Jesus confessed of himself, "I am the truth." It's the pursuit of Jesus' love that binds us to his truth and brings us peace. King David. King David, this is that guy that you may know, he was a little fella, and he killed the giant Goliath. There's movies that allude to that. There's TV shows that allude to the Goliath. Goliath is this colossal, impregnable, impossible to defeat entity of some sort. And some little guy takes him down. That's King David. King David is the giant slayer. The original Jack and the beanstalk. David understood that peace is bound to faithful love and truth and righteousness. He said in Psalm 85, verse 10, "Faithful love and truth will join together. Righteousness and peace will embrace." Isn't that beautiful? And you have Jesus' half-brother. He was the son of Joseph and Mary. They had the same mother. Jesus, of course, who came through the seed of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus' half-brother, James, reiterated the words of Isaiah, John, who we've read, and David. In his New Testament book, James, in chapter 3, verse 18, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace." I'll read that again. "The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace." Now, we've already discussed that peace is part of faithful love and truth. Peace is only found in righteousness. So think of all of what James is saying here. So James puts things most clear because he pinpoints the fact that peace is an action in our lives. He speaks of it as an action when he says that it's the fruit of righteousness is sown by those who cultivate peace. That cultivation is the action. So we have to cultivate righteous peace. This is the spread of the gospel of Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, whose birthday we're about to celebrate. We even call the holiday Christmas, Christ, Messiah, Savior. And it is our witness. This peace needs to be put to action in our lives and in our words. The more that we practice and cultivate this peace in our lives, the more people will see it, the more they will hear it, the more they will want what we have. And the beautiful thing is that is not envy. That is not covetousness. That is God's plan. He wants people to want Him because He knows it's the best for them. How beautiful. How beautiful. So for this Christmas and every day, actually, not just this Christmas, but every day, we are challenged to live righteously before God, to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourself. And by doing this and sharing it with others, we will have the privilege of seeing others being reconciled to God in their relationship with Him. They will call upon Jesus as Lord or commander of their life and trust in Him alone for their eternity. And then we will find that we and others will be able to have peace in all situations. We can be like the picture of that bird in that terrible place of impending turmoil, closing its eyes on a very scary place in complete peace. So we can be in every situation, even tragic ones, even ones of memory, even things that might occur. Our job then is to spread this peace by sharing it with others, so that they too, being reconciled with God, can be made righteous before God. They too will have the ability, as we do, to have the possibility of true peace. Wow! As we work to spread the good news of Jesus, especially at this season where we celebrate His birthday, we will be blessed. We'll be blessed. Isaiah, again, chapter 52, verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the herald, the messenger, who proclaims peace, who brings news of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, You, God, reigns. The bottom line, I believe, is summed up very simply by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, verse 5. And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. We have a challenge. We have a challenge. Believer, those who claim Jesus as their Lord, who trust in Him alone as for their salvation, for their eternal life, and as we'll discuss next week, for their hope, we have a challenge. That challenge is, hey, listen, we aren't promised automatic peace without living a life, like Jesus said, in command of to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we don't practice that, then we are foolish to expect peace. But if we practice righteousness and in His strength, we'll have peace that is beyond the world's comprehension. We'll have peace like that little bird in a very scary cleft and nook of a tree clinging to a rocky crag next to a very scary waterfall with an impending storm, and we'll be able to shut our eyes and sleep soundly. That's peace. That's peace that we can have, that we can share. So my challenge for us, that I believe the Holy Spirit saying to me, saying to you, live righteously. Live righteously in a cultivation of peace, and cultivate it by sharing that peace with others. We'll be blessed. Let's pray. God, You are amazing. The gift of peace that you offer is priceless. This world seeks peace. Individuals seek it. They're trying to find it in everything. Drugs, alcohol, pursuing immorality. They're trying to find it anywhere else. You have communities that are trying to find it in, you know, getting together to help the poor and the needy, and they're still not finding peace. You even have churches striving for peace in all kinds of ways. And what you say is, love me with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Like Wayne said today, of reminding us of the widow giving all she had for you, for others. Then we can have peace. Peace like something of your creation, like a little bird who has great peace, even in a very scary place. May we then, may the peace that we have be seen. May it be seen. May others desire that peace, and may we open our mouths to tell them how they can have it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.